I took a break from some kingdom stuff last week. And, oh, I dismissed the young people. Praise God. I want to talk about our kingdom mission. And this is kind of just strong in my heart. And it's a common thing that we talk about, but I just want to, man, I want to get the heart of God and be seeking the things that are on God's heart. Because he said, you know, you seek my kingdom, and then all that other stuff that you think is occupying your passions and your concerns and stuff, he says, it'll just follow after you, and you won't have to be concerned about it. And a big part of this, you know, I had four different parts that we were looking at as far as seeking the kingdom, but I wanted to add this, that we're all, there's a mission that we're about. You know, if Coca-Cola, I don't even know what their theme is, you know, but they always break it down into like one little phrase or whatever it is, what their mission is, you know, what they're going to accomplish. And everything else that they do is done so that they can accomplish this mission. It's interesting. I you know, Elon's Musk is really dominating right now, and he's in the news, and he's doing all kinds of stuff. And I saw this. I read this, though. It's been quite a while. I think it's been kind of his driving force all along. He says, everything I do is so that I can go to Mars. Isn't that interesting? Said all. Now, I'm sure he just enjoys doing other stuff, too. But it's like it's all just kind of in this flow of doing, he's everything I'm accomplishing is enabling going to Mars. It's like, well, fool you on that. You know, if the world burns up, I don't want to go to Mars. That looks pretty nasty. I don't see any trees. I don't see any stuff that where anywhere I'd like to live up there. You know, but in order to get everything else that you're doing into alignment, it's very important to have this single thing that the kingdom is about. Now, you know, we talked about getting the thoughts and the intents of God, of the king. You have to have those. We were looking at that, and man, that's righteousness. It's living holy. It's all those kinds of things. But what he's taken us to is a single thing. It's a single mission that is the passion of God. And we're going to look at this today because I believe he really wants us to get that. It's so easy to just become self-consumed and to even let, I mean, so much of what is taught even in church is, what do you want to get from God? Or what do you, God, you want God to do something in your life? You know, it's like, yeah, but what's the reason for it? Just so that I can enjoy it? Well, he wants you to. But it's for a reason. There's a bigger reason that it's all about, okay? Because if that reason was not in place, we wouldn't even get to go into the kingdom. We wouldn't have any blessings. Aren't you grateful that somebody shared something with you? That somebody had the heart of God? I'm so grateful that God loved us. You know that he's perfect? And we are so far from it. Even after we're born again, we're still far from perfect. I don't know about you, but if I had to depend on me being perfect for me to believe in God, no, I'm dependent upon his grace. I'm dependent upon his mercy continually. Amen? Now, he calls me his righteousness, but it's in Christ. It's because of what he's done. Amen? Hallelujah. So, his passion was so great for us, though. He even sees us as perfect before we even look his direction. While we were yet sinners, he reached out towards us with his mission, with his kingdom mission. He wanted to redeem us. He wanted to do something for us. Amen? So, I believe that if we're going to actually become a part of the kingdom, it's validated when we start to take on the mission of the kingdom. Man, I'm speaking this to myself. You know, I believe this is maybe the most challenging for those that have grown up in it the most. Because you just get used to, I'm the church, the world is the world. And God doesn't see it that way. He sees the world as the harvest. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So, I'm going to go through this, and we're just going to draw some stuff out. And before we get into this, let's open our hearts up to God. Affect me with your passion today. Because I would like to see every seat here filled, but whether or not these seats are filled, we need to be doing what we need to be doing. Whether people, you know, I was talking with my sister, and she said, you know what, there's different functions. It might not be that we're supposed to be a great big church in numbers, but she said, you know, we affect the kingdom in certain ways that other churches might not. Because we do pray in the Spirit, because we do pray things out that you can't get in your understanding. When we pray in the Spirit, when we pray for the harvest, we might be praying for the Baptist church down the street that's very effective at bringing in the harvest. Amen. But we need to take our place, and we need to have that same passion, and we have to say, God, what's going to drive me is going to Mars, if you can get the analogy, right? It's going to be the harvest. And everything else that you do in my life, God, I'm going to let it be excellent. I'm going to let it be big. And it's going to be for the purpose of the kingdom. Amen? Good. All right. So let's go to Luke 4:42. All right. Did I get the notes up there today, Braden? Yes. Man, last week, for some reason, I have to put these in, and it was the last thing, and I didn't get them in. And I'm thinking, why are people looking up there? You know, I didn't even bother to look myself. I had my own notes on my phone, you know, I could do that. And you can. You can always pull them up in your on your app. And I encourage you also, we have all our sermons on there, too. What's kind of cool about the sermon app, I'll just say this real quick. If you hit just the audio, just to listen to it, it doesn't have to be the video doesn't have to be on your screen. And you can go out of your screen and lay your phone down and do whatever else you want to do and not, doesn't need up your phone. Anyway, availability, you can use it later. You might want to go back and listen to this one, all right? Father, we just thank you so much for this day. God, that we can be affected by your word. We can be affected by your heart. And Lord, we can worship you with our faces right in your face because of your blood. Hallelujah. God, we just come here today, Lord, just humble before you and saying, God, we just open up our hearts and say, fill it up with what it needs, Lord, for your kingdom's purpose today. And we give you thanks for it. We're going to leave changed today. You're so awesome, Lord. You're so good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right, so Luke 4:42, Jesus' kingdom mission is to proclaim the good news. So it's really interesting that it's actually directly connected to the kingdom. And we looked at all those four parts of that. And what is the mission? I believe he's given us the mission in this, that the kingdom is about the good news. And yeah. Then we're going to look about what that good news is, okay? This might be stuff you've already got in your back pocket, but let's just get it in our front pocket today. Okay. All right. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. He's wanting to be alone. What does he do when he gets alone? He gets with his father, doesn't he? Starts seeing stuff that he's going to do. Amen. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. Isn't this kind of interesting? They said, we want our personal service. We want you to give us a personal teaching session today. And it's interesting what his response was. It just came out of him. It's his heart. It's his It's his passion that just comes out. He says, I must proclaim what? The good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also. Because that is why I was sent. Huh. So he's declaring the mission of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom of God. And he said, I can't just do it in one place. I need to go somewhere where it hasn't been heard yet. I really like you people. I'm glad that you subscribe to my channel. But there's some folks out there that haven't even heard me yet. And so this is a drive for him. We're going to see that there's rejoicing over every victory. We had some people get prayed for today. And you know, we rejoice in that. But we're going to look, when we get to the end of this today, we're going to look at that there's an elevation of value of what's taking place in somebody's life when it comes to somebody that was not in the light that comes into the light. Amen? So let's go to John 3:16. Anybody familiar with that? It's interesting how they're getting in trouble for taking stuff out of the end zones and putting stuff in the end zones and all that stuff. The good news, you don't have to perish and you can have eternal abundant life, but you don't just get it unless you believe. Is that right? Okay. So Jesus went about and he said, I have to go and share this wherever I go. And what is that good news? It said people don't have to perish. Now, that doesn't mean anything to somebody that doesn't know they're perishing. There needs to be some information transfer. There needs to be understanding being imparted. That's why it's called preaching. Is that right? Now, it needs to be done in a way that's not, you're going to hell. You know, it's not that, but there does need to be an awareness or there's no appreciation for it. And that's how the world is as a whole. And this is the only thing that's actually concerning me about America right now, is you take your foot off the spiritual gas pedal when you think things are going well, and you're no longer intent on the things that matter. It's so important to realize that it's not just about us, especially the world around us. They are spiraling towards perishing. And how are they going to know that that's a problem? It's going to be with somebody that's going to share that with them in a way that is good. Amen? It's not condemning, but it needs to be shared. What did he say? This is how God loved the world. Don't you like this? It's not God was ready to destroy the world. It wasn't God the one that was going to condemn. But this is how much God loved us, because we are condemning ourselves. So that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. What is eternal life? That's life that starts right now and doesn't stop. But what is life? And what is that eternal life? It's the kind that you actually enjoy. And Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I come to give. What kind of life? Abundant life. So that means it's going to be all the blessings that we have in the promises. But it also does not end. Okay? I wrote about this a little bit in this blurb that I did. That I think this gate's going off too much. I hear myself right here, and then all of a sudden I hear. Yeah. Okay. That'll help a little bit. There we go. That most kingdoms actually rise and fall because they implode. They become about themselves. That if you have a government or a leadership that is using the people for their own betterment and the people aren't the focus, it causes there to be a falling of the empire. Happened cyclically. How do you ever say that? Cyclically. Is that it? There we go. Through history, is that every time it becomes, it implodes with time. Because it's not about the people. And I was thinking about it with regard to this eternal life. What's really cool about the kingdom is it's never about us. It's about the kingdom. It's about somebody else. And Jesus even said this. He said, I'm going to show you what the kingdom is like. The greatest in the kingdom is not the one that's going to get stuff from everybody else. It's the one that becomes a servant. And he said, I didn't even come to be served. I came to serve. And I thought about that with regard to this eternal kingdom that we're into. The reason why it's eternal is because it never can implode. That everybody in it is servants. And so it can only expand, it can only get better as long as we're not self-focused. If there's any dying off of a church, it's because it's imploded. Amen? God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. He said, I'm not about condemning anybody. I'm not about beating anybody up. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. So, God said, I didn't come to judge you. I came to save you. But you're going to have to believe in what I did. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? And we're going to see this. What it means to believe in him is that you were doomed to destruction. And he came and took all your faults, all your sins on him. But when you really believe that, you no longer love the sins more than you do him. Can you see the connection that needs to take place? Because as long as you're loving the world, as you're loving what you want to do in the world more than what he's done for you, you're going to continue in what he saved you from. Because sin is still sin. And you choose to practice it or not. So at that point, you're paving your own path. But don't you love this? He loved us so much that he did everything so that we can be in a kingdom. Now, who did he do this for? I love John 3:16. God so loved who? The world. Amen. Now, here's what I said that when you actually believe in what Jesus has done for you, that he's delivered you from destruction, the more that becomes reality in your life, the more it becomes something that you not only receive and enjoy, but you become an advocate of it. Has anybody done sales before? I got into some sales and they said, okay, before, and it's part of the scheme sometimes. You know, they want, they're usually built on multi-level things, you know, but it's part of the strategy too. Is in order to sell something, you really need to own it. You really need to have one. You really need to drive one. You really, you know. You can talk to me about marriage, but are you married? You know. Are you experiencing what you're trying to tell me about? And the inverse goes also. The more you become blessed by the reality of your salvation, and it's an eternal effect upon your life. You look at somebody that's on a precipice, that they're going to fall, that they're going to be destroyed, and you cannot help but have the heart of God for them. Amen? And what was Jesus' heart? He said, I got to go somewhere else where they haven't heard this yet. Is that right? To be in the kingdom, you cannot really be abiding there without getting its mission ensconced in the core of your being. And you might need some help with this. Again, like I said, sometimes we're going about our own way and we just don't really care or have a passion for somebody that's dying. And here's part of the challenge is some of them, most people don't want to hear it either, or they've already heard it, you know? And so you can become, well, I'm not going to be rejected. But when you really care, when you really get the mission in your heart, it's going to be something that you become an advocate for it. It's not something that you even have to be told anymore. The more it's a reality in your life, it'll be something you want to share. Amen? You know, we were talking about this in prayer this morning. It doesn't mean that you have to have a whole bunch of scriptures. You just have to have an experience that you're just going to tell. It can be very simple. Man, I can see you're going through. Man, I went through that same thing. God did something in my life. That's all it has to be. Man, can I pray for you? You know, when you ask somebody if you can pray for them, it's very rare that they say, no, I don't want you to pray for me. Now, somebody might, but it's amazing how much you, and then when you get to praying, you're the one talking. And you can pray some truth. You can pray some reality. And it doesn't have to be weird. And you don't really have to preach either. That is preaching. It's powerful. Anyway, I kind of got ahead of myself a little bit, but man, this is the mission. Once we get into the kingdom, this is what the kingdom is about. Amen. Now, again, all the blessings are essential for this, because nobody wants to receive a life that you're trying to sell that looks like hell. Is that right? What is the purpose for your health and your victory and your triumph? A testimony. Amen. And the more you live in the blessings of the promises, the more God gets glorified. He's not just glorified in a song. He's not just glorified in our hands lifted up. If we're not living in the fullness of the promises, we don't have much to tell somebody about. I'd like to invite you to have eternal life, but I am just overwhelmed by life myself. Now, I'm not saying that if we're going through something. You know, you can be going through some of the biggest stuff and still be in victory. Amen. In fact, that can be a great testimony to somebody. They see you're going through something, and yet you got the joy of the Lord. You got a smile on your face. Talking about a testimony, it's not limited to what you're going through. Amen. Praise God. Let's look at John 12, 32. So good news is John 3, 16. But it's, again, I've already got ahead of myself a little bit. It's what Jesus did when we believe in him. Jesus took all our punishment in obedience to the Father. And when I am lifted up from the earth, what is happening? What is the truth of him being lifted up? And what it becomes a draw. That becomes a calling card. What is him being lifted? You know, Jesus said, just like the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, said, I'm going to be lifted up. Like, well, what was the serpent? He was death, wasn't he? But that's what Jesus was on the cross. You have to identify with everything that he took on himself on the cross. And you have to believe that yours was taken by him. And when you believe that, man, it draws your heart. Somebody that could do this for me. Somebody that could take all the things that are wrong in me and take them to the cross that I deserve to be on. What's it doing? It's taking the passion of your heart from things of the world, and it's placing them on a Savior. Amen? This is what the world needs to see. It's not condemnation, not Christians that are better than us, but Jesus that took anything that's wrong in them and bore it on the cross for them. Amen? And if they can get revelation of that, and again, It can, the revelation can come through a testimony of a life that's been changed. Amen? Praise God. Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, oh, that becomes our mission then too, to lift up Jesus. Praise God. But the reality of who he is in the lifting up, not just some mystical, wonderful God that's going to come back someday, but no, a Savior was here right now to give us eternal life right now and to free us. I don't care what your beliefs might be, what anybody's beliefs might be. There's a place in their heart that has a conscience that needs to be right with God. And it's already a weight on them. But if they can see that Jesus has been lifted up to take that weight, and they can be free, they can be right. Amen? All right. So that's the good news. Let's look at Isaiah 45, 21 through 23. So it's not just enough, though, that Jesus did this. There's a need for there to be a harvest of those people. He said, if I'm lifted up, people will be drawn to me. But they need to be harvested. They need to be brought in. Amen? It's very important that we talk about this kind of stuff, isn't it? Because we need to be, it'll bring everything else into alignment. When you're self-focused, you're subject to becoming very oppressed and depressed and thinking thoughts that we need not think. But when you get your heart on the mission of the gospel, it brings everything else into alignment. Amen? Look at this. Isaiah said several things. I just put this one on here. And it was cool because Isaiah would be speaking. He's speaking in the voice of Jesus. Go back and read it. This isn't the whole passage, but he's speaking like he's Jesus talking. This is really cool. And it's long before Jesus was even alive on the earth. Consult together, argue your case, get together and decide what to say. Who made these things known so long ago? What idol ever told you they would happen? Was it not I, the Lord? Okay. He's talking about these prophecies, but this is the part I like. He says, wasn't it me that was declaring these things that came to pass? Wasn't it I, the Lord? For there is no other God but me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none but me. I know I'm speaking to the choir right now, but here is this reality that the world needs to know about. Because there's a lot of other things pressing on people. There's a reason why people follow in the way of the world, that they act in wickedness and evil and things, that it's not being prudish that we don't do those things. It's because we've been given information that lets us know that there's an end of destruction for those things. Amen? And the reality is, you believing in God, it might be an option for you right now, but not always. Everybody's going to believe in him. Amen? The sooner, the better. Amen? For there's no other God but me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none but me. Now, again, this is part of the mission. The reality is that there's only one God, that he's the only one out there, and the world does not know it yet. But let's go to the next verse. Let all the world look to me for salvation, for I am God, there is no other. I have sworn by my own name. I have spoken the truth, and I will never go back on my word. Every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will declare allegiance to me. This is the ultimate mission. Can you see that? Even from back, way back. He's declaring, the reality is I am God. My passion is for everybody to bow their knee to me. Jesus loved us, or the Father loved us so much that he sent Jesus, John 3:16, to fulfill this so that everybody, and this is going to happen. We're going to Mars. Right? Everybody is going to bend their knee. But it's very important when they do. Amen? In order to have eternal life with Christ, their knee needs to bow now. Today is the day of salvation. Amen? Now, we don't have much time. It's amazing how we can just feel like life's just going to go on. Don't you know? I mean, this could be the last day right now. Amen? For a lot of different reasons. You know, the most one we would cherish was Jesus' coming back. Amen? So it needs to happen. It says every knee is going to bow. This is the mission of the kingdom declared long ago. Right? So Luke 19:10, let me just go through this quickly now. Jesus' mission is going to them with salvation. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. So what is Jesus doing? What is Jesus declaring? Remember when he said, I got to go to some other places. I got to share the gospel to places who have not heard. But what is he doing when he's every time? You know, the Father's helping me with this a little bit myself is like, God, where are they? You know, he says, just do your part. This has been happening to me since I made them. It's not us getting rejected. It's him being rejected. And he's rejected all the time. Man, when you start getting on this side of it, your heart starts to go out to God a little bit more. How much he's done for this world that takes his name in vain, that mocks him. And they can do that all they want, but their knee is going to bow. Because well, it doesn't matter your opinion of him right now. He is the Lord. Is that right? Amen. And so what Jesus said, so his mission is to not just wait, not just to say, they're coming to me. There had to be a lifting up for them to be drawn. But he said, I'm going to go out and seek them. I'm going to go out and find. So there's this attitude of becoming a treasure hunter. And I believe that's how heaven sees it. And he's called us to this. This is a mission. We're on a mission today. Who can know about him? Who can have Jesus lifted up and be drawn to? As a result of me. Amen? This is Jesus. So here's really what I'm wanting to do is say, okay, this is Jesus' mission. He's declaring it. I've come to seek and to save. Who? Those that are lost. They just have not come into the kingdom yet. Amen? Okay, and let's go to 1 John here, though, because here's where I want to turn this and say, okay, this is Jesus' mission. This is prophesied in Isaiah. This is going to be God's heart. This is God's heart. But again, you get into his heart and you're going to get his mission. And this is what it talks about in 1 John 4 here says. So to see or believe is to become a witness for his mission. So man, we've beheld this, haven't we? Everybody in this place, we've beheld his goodness. Now, it's really our mission, not to just get it, but to share it. Amen? Jesus was so powerful. I have to go do this. Amen? What I think is really wonderful about God right now, the Father here is hearing what I'm saying. He's saying, go for it, you know? But he's not here to judge us for how far we've come in this even. He wants us to just start doing what we can. Amen? just to start taking steps. He said, you don't have to be a great preacher, but you need to start taking steps. If God's been good to you, it needs to come through you to somebody. Amen? And when there's an opportunity, you begin to just, even if you're kind of scared, you just go ahead and say, okay, however this turns out, I'm going to do something. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Kind of simple, isn't it? But what are they doing? They're saying, we've seen it, and so now we're going to testify. Kind of simple, but there's a transition from this just being God's and Jesus' mission to now it's our mission. Amen? Are you good? Matthew 24, 14. The mission is that all receive the gospel. And this gospel of the kingdom, again, this is a kingdom gospel, isn't it? This is about the king. This is about his ways. This is about his people. Amen? Shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end comes. So this preaching is not, again, let's don't define it to a pulpit. Confine it to a pulpit. It's everywhere. Jesus said, I'm going to go out in the streets and I'm going to everybody I talk to, right? What an example he is. You know, and if you just, you felt like you had to be exactly like Jesus, it'd be too overwhelming. But we can do something. We can take a step, can't we? All right. Luke 15, 31. The priority of rejoicing for those in the kingdom. This, I spoke about this a little bit earlier, but I got a couple examples here that I want us to see that the hooping and hollering that goes on in heaven is pretty good for all the blessings when we get a victory over something in our life, when we get, you know, blessed and we get a victory and we get, you know, this or that. But what really gets the angels doing backflips and moonwalking and all that kind of stuff. There you go, Mars walking, there you go. What really gets heaven rejoicing is when the lost is found. Amen? And if it's true for heaven, it needs to at least begin to start to grow in us. Is this true? His father said to him, look, dear son, who's he talking? This is the prodigal. Remember, the prodigal went out and sowed his wild oats and went back. And he got back, and this is what I want to encourage us in. He comes back, and the older son is there, and he said, Dad, I've been with you this whole time. And he gets mad. You're making a feast for this guy that went out and wasn't even living for you, wasn't even. And he says, yeah, but you've been with me all along. You've been blessed by everything that I've given you. He didn't even get a chance to because he wasn't even here. The greatest thing is somebody coming into the kingdom because now they can get everything else. And they don't even have a chance for anything until they do. Amen? His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Man, there needs to be this adjustment in our relationship to God that he's all for us. But he has a mission for us that he really gets fired up when we find somebody. We go out and we seek somebody. Amen? This is the kingdom, isn't it? All right, here's another example. Jesus gave this example. He's always given examples of the kingdom, but he says, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? My wife will, okay. And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice in me because I have found my last coin. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Now, again, what I wanted to make note of is She still had those other coins. But she got excited when the lost was found. There needs to be, God, help us. Help us when we come in here and we're worshiping you. Oh, help us to care about those who've never come. Amen? And show us how to start mobilizing however we can to produce for your kingdom, for your kingdom mission. All right, I have just one more here. And this is Jesus' examples, his parables that he gave us, but he flat out told us, didn't he? Amen? Now, what happens when somebody tells you and you don't do it? What's that called? Disobedience and maybe rebellion, right? Ouch! Right? I believe this is for us, for us this year. Amen? That God wants us to care, to have his heart, to not be selfish, not to be imploding in our relationship with him. Because I'm telling you what, a relationship with God that becomes self-centered is going to implode just like a nation will. And it will become meaningless until it gets the heart of the kingdom and his mission. Praise God. Isn't this good? Aren't you excited? Whew, we're ready to go. All right. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How many like it that Jesus said he's going to be with us? He kind of gave a little bit of a stipulation to his presence here, though, didn't he? What did he say about this? He said, when you go, I will be with you. Now, I'm grateful that we call on him and he's our salvation. But if you really want to be having a good time with Jesus, you're going to be doing something that he's doing. That's his heart. That's his mission. Does this make sense? Amen. And you're going to have an encounter with the Redeemer, with the Savior that you will never have when you're asking him to just do stuff for you. When you start saying, Father, show me how to share your gospel to somebody that's never come into your kingdom. And he says, I'm going to impart my presence to you because you're going to be experiencing a power, an enablement, an anointing, an utterance, an experience in me that you will never have as long as you're focused on you. There's going to be something that's going to begin to come through you, and that's going to be the presence of Jesus. That you, I'm sorry, he's good to you in other ways, but he's not like this. No, you're actually getting, you're working with him in his mission. There's nothing like it. Hallelujah. You know, this eternal life is wonderful, but if people's perspective on life was things that they're doing in this life, they're not going to like eternal life. Because eternal life, if it had to do with these things, it's going to be over with. It's not going to be eternal. What we're talking about in the mission of the kingdom is, this is eternal life. Doing the heart and the will of the Father. I encourage us. We begin to do some things. Ask God. Maybe we can, as a church, we can begin to strategize some things. Amen? I mean, we're doing some things already. I love the Mogbys. I don't know if y'all are still doing that, but they were going out and handing out things in the neighborhoods, you know. Flyers, you know. Walk in your neighborhood and just pray. It doesn't have to be like you're scaring people stalking people or, you know what I mean? It's not like that, but, you know, we've got some little invitation cards out there. You know, you can leave them on a counter. That can be like a first step. Wow, I left a card on a counter. You know what I mean? And say, God, show me how to just to say something encouraging to somebody. Man, how you doing today? Man, you look nice today. Offering to pray for somebody, you know? What can we do? Because we cannot stay stagnant and be moving forward in the kingdom without getting his heart for this. Amen? I wish y'all were me, because you could preach to yourself too today, okay? I'm preaching to myself. Praise God, we need to have this, don't we? We don't go any further in him than having his mission. Praise God.